Tiranika Swami is divine grace, A.C. Bhaktanda Swamra Chira Prabhupada ki, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Bhut Premanandi. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda, Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhira, 5th chapter, the activities of Sakshi Gopal, text number 90.
Eta,
Jani,
Tumi,
Sakshi,
Deha, Doya, Maya, Jani,
Sakshi,
Nahi, Deya, Tara,
Eta jani tumi sakshi deha doyo moya.
Eta jani tumi sakshi deha
doyo moya. Eta jani tumi sakshi deha doyo moya.
Jani sakshi nahi doya deya tara papahoya.
Jani sakshi nahi deya.
Jani sakshi nahi deya tara papahaya.
Jani sakshi nahi deya tara papahaya.
Eta jani tumi sakshi deha doya moya.
Eta jani tumi sakshi deha doya moya.
Jani sakshi nahi deya tara papahaya.
Jani sakshi nahi deya tara papahaya.
Eta jani tumi sakshi.
Eta jani tumi sakshi deha daya mai.
Eta jani tumi sakshi deha daya mai.
Jani sakshi nahi deha tara papahai.
Jani sakshi nahi deha tara papahai.
সাক্ষী দেহ দয়াময়
এটা জানি তুমি সাক্ষী দেহ দয়াময়
জানি সাক্ষী নাহি দেয় তার পাপ হয়
জানি সাক্ষী নাহি দেয় তার পাপ হয়
মাতাজি
এটা জানি তুমি সাক্ষী দেহ দয়াময়
এটা জানি তুমি সাক্ষী দেহ দয়াময়
জানি সাক্ষী নাহি দেয় তার পাপ হয়
জানি সাক্ষী নাহি
knowing this,
to me,
you,
Sakshi,
witness,
Deha,
please give,
Doya Moya,
O most merciful one,
Jani,
knowing. Sakshi,
witness,
Nahideya,
does not give,
Tara,
for him,
Papa,
sin,
Haya,
there is.
Translation of purport by Srila Prabhupada. The young Brahman continued, "My dear sir, you are very merciful, and you know everything. Therefore, can you be a witness in this case? A person who knows things as they are and still does not bear witness becomes involved in sinful activities." Purport: the dealings between a devotee and the Lord are very simple. The young Brahmin said to the Lord, "You know everything, but if you do not bear witness, you'll be involved in sinful activities." There is no possibility, however, of the Lord's being involved in sinful activities. A pure devotee, even though he knows everything of the Supreme Lord, can speak with him exactly as if he were a common man. Although the dealings between the Lord and his devotee are always very simple and open, there is formality. All these things happen because of the connection between the Lord and the devotee.
Eta jani tumi sakshi deha doya moya, jani sakshi nahi deya tara papa hoyo.
The young Brahmin continued, "My dear sir, you are very merciful and you know everything. Therefore, kindly be a witness in this case. A person who knows things as they are and still does not bear witness becomes involved in sinful activities."
Oma Gyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmahe Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svamrupam Gadhamayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
The permission of the senior Vaishnavas, try to say something Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here, in this verse, we can see the intimate dealings between the pure devotee and the Lord. The dealings are so intimate that sometimes there is a so-called breach of etiquette. Like Krishna, he's shuddham apapavidam. He's completely pure and aloof. In fact, he does not get contaminated by anything because he's the ultimate pure. Even though he has engaged himself in killing since time immemorial through his direct and indirect energies, he is completely aloof. He does not get influenced. Why? Because the creation never affects the creator. So Krishna, he is independent from the creation. So he does not become contaminated or influenced in any way by his creation. So, a smarta Brahman, or a person who is following the smarta path, the ritualistic path, may say, "What is this? You can't go to the Lord and tell him you'll be implicated in sinful activities. This is not according to our procedures. You can't say that. But the Lord and his pure devotee, they have very simple and very direct, very straightforward dealings. Just like Sanatana Goswami. He tied his deity, Madan Mohan, in a tree. Now, usually you don't tie the deity in a tree. That is not the way how you deal with the Lord. But he was living on the bank of the Jamuna, and he could not put him on the ground. He had no cupboard. He had no furniture. He had no house. He had no residence. He had no paraphernalia for puja. In fact, he had nothing. But he simply tied his deity in a tree. He did not even have any proper foods to offer him. Simply he would go and beg, and every day people would give him a few rotis. And he would offer that to his deity. And then Krishna would ask him, can't you put little salt? A little bit of salt? And he said, and what? Tomorrow you want butter and ghee? Then you want sabji? No. I'm a simple Baba. I cannot do this. This is all I can. This is all I have. I'm giving everything to you, Madan Mohan. So you please accept. So Krishna said, all right, fine. I will accept. But then by his potency, he manifested wonderful temple, deity worship, everything. But Krishna's dealings with his devotees are very pure. They're very simple. Just like in Vrindavan, the gopis, they always become angry because Krishna goes into their houses and he steals the butter. Sometimes he breaks the pots and he does so many mischievous things. So they go and complain to Mother Yashoda. Your boy is very naughty and he's always coming and he's causing mischief in our house and he's stealing our butter. And in fact, he's even feeding it to the monkeys. That is very disrespectful. Now Mother Yashoda says, alright, if you want, I can tie him up in the house so he will not go out. And they say, no, don't tie him up. We want him to come and steal our butter. But still, it makes us so angry. So they have to go and express their anger, because that is their love. That is their loving feeling. But they do not want to be separated from Krishna in any moment. So a pure devotee is never separated from Krishna in any of his dealings, in any of his activities. Just like Srila Prabhupada. There was not a moment when he was not absorbed in Krishna. Everything he did it for Krishna. It's like Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, in Radha Damodar temple. Very simple life. Very peaceful and pure life. But still, he ventured out to Delhi to print his Back to Godhead magazine and to publish his books. And one time, he was giving a preaching program in Mathura at the house of a certain Mr. Agarwal. And that Mr. Agarwal, he mentioned to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, I have a son, he's in America, Gopal. But he got trapped by an American woman. She grabbed him and he got married and he's stuck there. He won't come back for any reason. So Srila Prabhupada said, why would you write to your son that he should send me a sponsorship letter for going to America? Krishna has his hands in every activity. The question is, do we see the connection to Krishna, or do we think this is separate? Oh, this person is talking about his son who is in Maya, who is in America, who got involved with a white woman. And your fight will think like that. I don't want to hear all these things, you know. Let's just do the kirtan and the prasadam and let's get out of here. But Srila Prabhupada, he saw the connection to Krishna. And he just mentioned, why don't you ask him to send me a sponsorship letter? And then a few months later, when he went to Delhi, because Srila Prabhupada kept a small room in Chippewada, when he went to publish his books, he had to stay in Delhi. So in his mailbox, there was a letter from America with the sponsorship letter
for 1 month visa from Gopal Agarwal in Butler, Pennsylvania. So he saw, this is confirmation. My Guru Maharaj wants me to do this. Krishna wants me to send me there. So then he went, he got his ticket in Mumbai, as we explained the other day. And then he went on the boat journey. And when he arrived, first in Boston at the pier, he wrote in a very helpless mood his prayer. Markine Bhagavat, what's the exact name? Markine Bhagavat Dharma. Very beautiful poem. My Lord, you have brought me here. And I do not know what you have in mind, what is your purpose. But please, if you so desire, make me dance, make me dance. Now, please fulfill the meaning of Bhaktivedanta. He was very humble. Very intimate dealings between the Lord and his pure devotees. So even though sometimes pure devotee may ask the Lord for a favor, just like Srila Prabhupada, he brought deities to the Western world. And then he asked Krishna, please take care of yourself. I don't know what they will do, but please help them to serve you nicely. Because, basically speaking, there was no facility. Nobody was trained. Nobody knew what was the proper pancharatric rituals to worship Radha and Krishna. But Prabhupada had this very intimate dealing with Krishna. And Krishna always protected him. So the perfection of a disciple is to study and absorb and emulate the mood of the guru. Now, what is Srila Prabhupada's mood? How do we find out what Prabhupada's mood is? Okay, we have a lot of footage. We have audio, we have video, we have books. We have so many recounts from people who were with Srila Prabhupada. All these very, very emotional moments, like when Srila Prabhupada wrote this poem, and when he got off that boat, the Jaladuta, with his cases of Srimad Bhagavatam. Do you want to feel what that mood is? What would you give to experience that intensity, that dependence on Krishna, that ecstasy, that uncertainty? I'm venturing out into a completely new land. He didn't know, shall I turn left, shall I turn right, shall I walk straight? He didn't know what was to be expected. So if we want to experience this mood which Srila Prabhupada experienced when he got off Jaladuta, we have to go preaching. We have to go and distribute these books. Because when we venture out, sometimes also virtually, we don't know, shall I turn left, shall I turn right, who should I approach? And you look at the people, you look at their faces, you look at what's going on, and you say, this is hopeless. I can't do a thing here. This is completely beyond me. Like yesterday, we went to Stratford, and we saw all the scenery. And I felt like Arjuna, the battlefield of Kurukshetra, observing the armies. My bow was slipping from my hand. And I was thinking, I can't distribute here. This is a zoo. These are not just the human species, these are all the species assembled right here. And then we have to turn towards Krishna in our hearts and say, Krishna, Prabhupada, please make me your humble servant, make me your instrument, empower me, give me the proper words so I can touch somebody's heart. And the first person I went up to was a person from Africa, a black person. And he looked how he set up everything, and he stood there for about 2 hours, just observing. You remember? He stood right across. I went up to him right in the beginning. I told him, you know, this book, Yoga Meditation, tells you how to get free from stress. And I turned the Gita to the back, and I said, you know, you heard of Mahatma Gandhi? He said that he's originally from Africa. And I said, Mahatma Gandhi, he studied in Africa. He was a lawyer. And you know what else? He kicked the British out of India. And he said, yeah. And that was the sales line. 5 pounds came right out. And he was standing there for 2 hours, just observing the kirtan and the devotees. And he was just taking it all in, you know? Like, really, he said, I'm a very philosophical person. I ask everybody, are you more into philosophy or psychology? Even the guy with his construction boots and, you know, dirty pants and big hands and arms, I ask him, you more philosopher or more into psychology? And you're surprised, you'd be surprised how many people, they say, oh, I'm into philosophy, or yeah, I like psychology, you know, nature of the human mind, why people are so crazy, like that. Then you connect the book to them. So he was just standing there taking in the kirtan, taking some prasadam. So I could see Srila Prabhupada's potency. If we just remember Srila Prabhupada's austerities, his ardent desire to give Krishna consciousness to all living entities, then we can become his instrument. We can become a small, small instrument of Srila Prabhupada's potency. And Srila Prabhupada's potency is so great that any person who gets in contact with it will just light up with Krishna consciousness. Just like Gopal Agarwal. He was not what you would call a fired up devotee. He was very much minding his own business. In fact, Sally, she was the one who was arranging all the preaching programs for Prabhupada, inviting people and taking him out to show him to all her friends and arranging media and all other people to meet Prabhupada. But Gopal, he was very reserved. He, you know, that's okay. She wants to do that. He was very nonchalant, you could say. But when the devotees had a reunion in Butler, Pennsylvania, a few years ago, were you there? I heard from Radhanath Swami. He went there. And they had about 70 devotees. And they walked the 7 blocks from the YMCA to their former home and made kirtan. And then it was raining outside. And they had kirtan in front of this apartment building in the rain. And everybody was so ecstatic. And they all started jumping and dancing. And Sally and Gopal Agarwal were dancing and chanting Hare Krishna in the rain in Butler, Pennsylvania, in front of their former apartment building. They had gotten a house outside. And then some devotees went up to the door and started knocking and wanted to go into the building. And luckily, nobody was there. You know, you look out and you see 70 people in bed sheets, you know, in the rain, chanting and dancing. Call the cops. And afterwards, Sally told Maharaj that, I have not seen Gopal dance once in his entire life. And he's 7 years old. He has never danced on any occasion. This is the first time I saw him dance. So, why? Because he's been touched by Prabhupada's mercy, by Prabhupada's potency. Now, every day you meet people who have been touched by Prabhupada's mercy. I was just distributing books in Washington, D.C. And we had, same like in Stratford, Harinam chanting party, and then some book distribution along the side. It's a very powerful combination. Because it's like a magnet. You just attract all the nice people. They just come out of the woodwork from everywhere. And one man, he was standing there with a t-shirt which said, Om Namo Shivaya. He was about 70, white hair, short stocky guy, little belly. And I went up to him, and he took the book, and he smiled, and he gave me a donation. And he said, you know what? I was one of the first students of Dr. Mishra's in New York. And I spoke with your Swami there. And he cooked for us. And I'm very happy to find you people. I've been out on the West Coast, you know, up in Washington State, out in the woods, doing my yoga thing. Because I'm a disciple of Dr. Mishra's. I'm one of his, you know, teachers. So, and I'm back here in D.C., and I just came back a couple of days ago, and I'm so happy to meet you. And I said, you know what, we have a temple, you should come. The next day he came to the Potomac Temple, and he went collecting cow dung for his fire sacrifices, which he's making. And he's like a bhakta, you know, 7-year-old man, running around like a 20-year-old kid, doing all the programs, doing everything. Why? He he had been touched by Prabhupada's mercy, by Prabhupada's potency. Then, initially we set up there, and there was a... I've been told it's okay to tell Sankirtan stories on Sunday. And there's a security man, African-American, early 50s. And he came up to me, and he told me, you know, actually this is private property here. Actually, you know, you're not supposed to be here and do this chanting thing. But for today, it's okay. You know, and he kind of, he held my hand and he touched my shoulder. And I felt like, this is a little bit familiar, you know. This is a little bit too intimate. Anyway, he went off. After about an hour, he came back. He saw me distributing books. And he said, you know what? There's cameras everywhere here. You know, the money thing, actually, it's not cool, you know. But just keep it on the low range, you know. Just, you know, we don't want everybody to see. And he went off again. And about an hour later, he came back, and he had a POY, Perfection of Yoga, with him. So I said, huh, you already got a book, huh? You know. And he said, I know the Hare Krishnas. I lived in the temple in the 70s. And I asked him, did you meet Prabhupada? He said, no, unfortunately not. But I met this black Swami, an African-American. I said, Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He said, yes. And I read his book, you know, a Spiritual Warrior. I am a spiritual warrior. This is my duty here. I'm protecting all these people out here, you know? And he was like on a mission from God. Why? Because he had been touched by Prabhupada. Or by somebody who had been very much touched by Prabhupada. So, he said, I know how to cook with ghee and vegetables and spices and offer to Krishna. I can do this. I lived in an ashram for 3 months. He was very proud. So I could see he'd been touched. Another day I was distributing books in Switzerland in Zug in the train station. And there was a person, he looked like a homeless person. And he didn't look too nice. And I didn't feel like approaching him, but he was just like standing right in front of me. So I just said a few friendly words to him. And I didn't even bother to show him the books. And he just looked and he said, Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I have 8 of these books. I read these books. These are the best books I've ever got. And you think, oh, this guy, you know, forget it. And he had been touched by Prabhupada. So we're simply out there trying to meet the people who have been touched by Prabhupada and trying to touch people's lives through Srila Prabhupada's mercy. That is the mood of the acharyas. That is the mood of all the devotees. Just like this young Brahmin. He saw that the people of this village, there's no chance they're going to believe him. There's just no way. Because who is he? He's a simple, poor, you know, Brahmin. They will not believe him. So he arranged for them to get darshan of Gopal. And that's why he went all the way back to Vrindavan to make Gopal come and bear witness, which we will hear about in the next few classes. But the point here is that if we have firm faith that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear, does appear, wants to appear in our lives and in the lives of all the living entities in this world, then we can see miracles happen right in front of our eyes. And if we think the deity is made of stone or wood or marble, then the Lord, yetano prapanyate tamasatayo vijanyam. If you deal with me like stone or wood, I can be stone or wood. Not a problem. Huh? It's also my form. It's also my energy. But if we see Krishna, Vijaganath, dancing as Gopal, as a coward boy, resident of Vrindavan, if we have the mood, the attitude that this is not just Haru Brahma, this is not just a wood which has been spiritualized by some ritualistic ceremony, but this is Krishna. Krishna is here, Balaram is here, Subhadra Devi are here, and they're waiting for us to wake up. Many times we come and we think, oh, you know, not much going on here. Vyasaki is not here, not a fired up kirtan. you know. So, okay, we go about our activities, do a little, you know, kirtan and a little clap. But if we see actually the Lord is here and he's dancing with his associates, Sri Radha Langaneshwar, they're dancing with their associates and they're ready to reciprocate with us. The question is, do we simply want to perform ritual? Do we simply want to go through the motion? Or do we want to stand in front of Krishna and say, "Hey Krishna, you look spectacular today"? Now, somebody might say, "You don't do these things, you know, with Krishna." But Krishna wants to see our love, our emotion. He wants to get our bhakti. He's not into getting... He also accepts the rituals and the pujas and all these things. But what he's really looking for is the bhakti. He's bhakta vatsala. He's most dear to the devotees and the devotees are most dear to him. So he appears just to uphold the word of his pure devotee. Just like when Lord Chaitanya met this Brahmin in South India who was looking at Bhagavad Gita and crying. He asked him, "Why are you crying?" He said, "My guru has asked me to read Gita every day. But frankly speaking, everybody knows I'm illiterate. I cannot read." But Lord Chaitanya said, "Then why are you crying? You're simply turning the pages and looking." And he said, "I'm simply looking at this picture of Parthasarathi, Krishna, who has accepted the service of being the chariot driver of his devotee Arjuna. And I have to cry because the Lord is so merciful." Now, to be somebody's driver is not a very respectable job, right? I mean, you're the driver. It's like one amongst many, right? And especially if you're the chariot driver, you know, like on the battlefield, I've heard, I have not witnessed, but I've heard that on the battlefield it gets so loud that you cannot tell. It's very hard to communicate between the fighter and the chariot driver. So what they do is the fighter is up and the chariot driver is a little bit down. Otherwise, you know, when he shoots arrows, he gets it. So he has to be a little bit elevated position. So what they do is you put your foot on the right or left shoulder of the chariot driver. And in this way you tell him, "Go left, go right." And Krishna was there as the chariot driver. And you know, as you have heard from Mahabharata, the first people who get killed are the horses and the chariot drivers. So Krishna was getting all the arrows, but he did this menial service just for his friend Arjuna, to please him. Because Arjuna chose Krishna. He didn't choose the armies. So in our own lives, we have to analyze, what do we choose? Do we choose Krishna? Or do we choose Krishna's potencies? Of what mentality are we? Because Duryodhan mentality is there in Kali Yuga, in the heart of the living entity. And he's very much anxious to get so many facilities and opulences and so many different things. And we think, "Oh, it's for Krishna. I'll utilize for Krishna, right? I'll get all the armies and then I'll use it for Krishna." But Krishna is here. You don't need to go and bypass. You can go directly to him. Krishna is simply waiting for us to wake up from our conditioning. And how do we wake up from our conditioning? Jeev jago, jeev jago, gaura chandra bole, kota nidra jal maya, pisha chira kole. By hearing Mahaprabhu's calling, hearing his words, his calling, chant Hare Krishna, and distribute Krishna consciousness far and wide. In this way you can be happy, you can become happy, and you can make other people happy with Krishna consciousness. So this is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the mission of Srila Prabhupada, this is why he ventured around the planet so many times, to touch people's lives with Krishna's mercy, with Krishna's potency. And any time I meet somebody who has been in direct contact with Srila Prabhupada, it's like I get a little shiver, you know? My hair stand on end. I don't know. Do you have the same feeling sometimes? It's like, it puts you on the edge, right? You feel like, wow, it's like a representative of Prabhupada. Like Vyasa Prabhu is here. And he puts me on the spot, you know. I have that feeling. And it's very nice. It's very good. Because you get a glimpse of the experience of what it was like when you were in Srila Prabhupada's presence. I mean, everybody was pretty sober, right? Most of the time, at least. But when we go out on preaching and we go out on Sankirtan, we carry Srila Prabhupada on our arms. These books are his devotional ecstasies. Srila Prabhupada sacrificed his sleep to write these books. Now for us, what is the most important thing besides prasadam? It's our downtime, right? It's sleep. Oh, Prabhu, I will try, but I'm not convinced. But about my sleeping, I'm very convinced. Because that is sadhana. That is right on. Huh? So the most important thing for people nowadays, especially in Kali Yuga, is their sleep. Now Srila Prabhupada, he gave up his sleeping, practically speaking, just to write these books. Such a sacrifice. Huh? It's tremendous. Srila Prabhupada went to take rest at about 10 o'clock, depending on how the day went. And he got up just a few hours later, washed his hand and face, and started translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And that every night, wherever he went, wherever he was, on whichever continent he was, no matter what happened, he would translate diligently Srimad Bhagavatam. For he saw, if the people of this Kali Yuga do not get Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, there would simply be no hope for them to become Krishna conscious. Because they would not hear the story of Sakshi Gopal. They would not see what it means to deal with the Lord in a very personal and a very direct way. Huh? They would just think, oh yeah, temple, church, mosque, it's all the same, you know. One God, one people. Huh? Today, give me my daily bread. Huh? Like that. No. That the Lord and the devotee have very, very intimate dealings. Now, I made some notes, but I cannot read my own notes, which is kind of embarrassing. But I don't know whether it ever happens to you. That you put handwriting and you can't even read it yourself. Does it ever happen? Yeah? Even to you? Yeah. Okay, now I feel already better. Because... you know, you want to say so many smart things and you write them all down, but then, you know, you go completely off track. You totally lose it. You go in a different direction. So, Srila Prabhupada's mood, that is what we are hankering for. That is what we are trying to achieve. And that mood is very much prevalent in his books, in his teachings, in his disciples, in his grand disciples, in his movements. That's why we are having the association of the devotees. Because whatever we're doing it because of Srila Prabhupada. Because Srila Prabhupada was doing it, frankly speaking. He was teaching the devotees how to put tilak, how to put dhoti, all these things. It all comes directly from Prabhupada. So somebody may come today and may say, oh, Prabhupada's not here, you know, he's been gone a long time. I can't see Prabhupada, so many things have changed. That's because you don't see things in connection to Prabhupada. Just like with Krishna. You could see Krishna in his entire creation. In fact, there is nothing which is not related to Krishna. Everything is Krishna's energy and is either directly or indirectly engaged in his service. In the same way, everything in this movement is either directly or indirectly connected to Srila Prabhupada. So, to develop the proper vision. And what is that vision? Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaksa daivaridayeshu vilokayanti yam shyama sundara lachinte gunatsvarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham vijayam. If our eyes are anointed with the salve of love, then we can have that vision to see Prabhupada in all his devotees and in all his grand disciples and great-grand disciples and great-great-great-grand disciples. Because we do not see things on the bodily platform. We do not make that distinction. So, let us absorb ourselves more and more in Srila Prabhupada's teachings by studying his books on a daily basis. Srila Prabhupada said, I don't have any criticism. I only have one criticism on my disciples. And that means everybody in this movement. That is, you do not read my books enough. What will your 3 minutes of preaching do? If they take a book, their lives will be changed. But we can only give them the book if we have read the book, if we know what's in the book, if we get a direct experience of the potency of Srila Prabhupada, then we can preach. Otherwise, we'll be there with empty guns, no bullets, and it will be an embarrassment. It will be very difficult. So, let us always stay absorbed in the nectarian teachings of Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, we can make a difference in this misdirected society. Now, I know you're all thinking about the marathon, and you're already planning, because you can't just run out there. Otherwise, you'll get yourself, you know, what do you call it? A cramp, yes. It's like when I flew from Berlin to Dublin. It was just the Berlin Marathon last weekend. And a lot of people from Ireland went to Berlin for the marathon. And, you know, I heard them talking, and I saw who trained and who didn't. Those who didn't, they were limping, you know. They were like, because they had cramps all over, because they were not used to it. So if we think, oh, I can just jump out there and do the preaching like that, it's not that easy. We have to train. We have to put ourselves in the proper conditioning. We have to become ready by reading, by chanting, by associating, and by going out on a regular basis with Srila Prabhupada's books. So please just take a book with you wherever you go. That's my request. If you forget everything about this class, just remember this one thing. Take a book in your bag wherever you travel. And you'll be surprised. Every time I fly, Krishna puts somebody next to me who buys a book from me. The last 38 or I don't know how many times since I'm doing it, every single time Krishna puts a person next to me who takes the book. It's amazing. And you can say, oh, you're just forcing Krishna to make this happen. Yeah, so what? If that's our relationship, then that's our relationship. What can we do? Like the other day, I was sitting down and there came this young Indian couple. It was an internal flight in India. And it's a young couple. And they were like lovebirds, completely absorbed in each other, full of themselves. They're sitting down next to me, and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a tough one, you know? This is going to be a challenge. How can I give the book to them, you know? Because obviously they didn't even say hello, you know? They're in a different world. They're on a different cloud. So just I was thinking that, there comes a businessman down the aisle, and he looks at his boarding pass, and he says to them, excuse me, you're in my seat. So they had to get up. They were five rows behind. So he moved them up. He sat down. He saw me reading Bhagavad Gita. And he said, oh, Bhagavad Gita, are you from ISKCON? And boom. He didn't see it coming, but the book was his. But then you can't just have the newspaper out, you know. You got to actually be reading or chanting. Otherwise, the people will think, oh, you're just a regular Joe. But if you're reading or chanting, the people, you know, they actually register what you're doing. Another time I had a businessman there, he was a little bit closed and grumpy mood. So I asked him, how's it going, a little bit tough life? And he said he has 5,000 employees all over India. And it's pretty stressful. And he just came from the meetings, they have to restructure and this and that and the other thing. So I just preached to him solidly Bhagavad Gita for 1 hour. I mean, the person, they can't run anywhere, you know? They just got to sit there and take it. So you can practice. And he gave me 1,000 rupees, you know? Which for him was not much money, but if you get 1,000 rupees in India, it's you know, it's something. Another time I had a young guy and he looked like, he didn't know, was he a sportsman, was he an army guy or what? So I started speaking to him. And then at the end he told me that he's CID, he's one of the top cops for criminal investigation. And he's going to all the court cases all over India to nail all the big industrial fraud people. And we spoke about Arjuna and Bhagavad Gita and Dharma and this and that and the other thing. He gave me 500 rupees for Bhagavad Gita. So you've got your own private Bhagavad Gita class arranged for you every time you travel. Huh? Whether it be on a bus or on a plane. Sometimes it's impossible because you have these morning flights and it's everybody's really, you know, they're all doing their thing. It's like I was going into Australia a couple of months ago, but there was an accountant originally from India but working in Australia. He flew with me in Singapore down to Melbourne. So I saw him on the plane, but the person next to me wasn't interested. So then I was at the baggage claim and we were delayed because of bad weather. Some storm was there. So I asked him whether he can borrow me his phone to call the temple, my ride, because, you know, sometimes devotees get a little delayed. So sometimes you wait longer for your ride than you've been traveling on the plane. But that's a different story. Krishna wants to make you humble. So yeah, he borrowed me his phone. And next thing he knows, he has a Bhagavad Gita in his hand. And, you know, here's a donation. He's blissed out. And that puts you on the edge, right? You want to be on the edge. That means you have to have the focus with every person you meet. How will I give Krishna to this person? How will I talk to this person to give him Krishna consciousness? So always carry Prabhupada's books wherever you go. And Krishna will put the people right next to you. In America, I was flying, and there was a young chap sitting next to me, and he saw me, and he asked, "What is this?" And I showed him the beads, and I showed him the chanting and what I was doing. And he said, "I am very impressed. You know what? I'm a youth minister in a Christian church, in a Baptist church in Tennessee, in the South. And they're pretty fired up, you know, about their Bible. It's called the Bible Belt." And he said, "In my church, we have a lady who plays the organ. We don't have a priest right now. So I only did 1 year of seminary school. Then I got married. And I'm working as a youth counselor with the youth. And the most difficult thing is to get all the youth to do things which are related to God. It is so difficult. And you just sit down next to me and start praying like that. I really admire this. How is it possible? How can you do this?" And boom, there goes the Bhagavad Gita. Huh? And I explained to him the Gita. And even though he was very, very set in his Christian way, but because I made it clear to him that we are together in this, you know? We're in the same boat. We have a common enemy. We're fighting against illusion, against Maya. It's us against them. He was so fired up. He took the Gita, he gave it on it. It was very, he said, "You know, all these young kids, They're interested in Eastern stuff and yoga, meditation, and karma, and reincarnation. I don't know anything about these things." I said, "You have to read this. Otherwise, how, you know, if they think you're ignorant, they will not respect you." So, you can have people, sometimes they're atheists. They say, "I don't believe in God." You say, "Well, don't you want to find out what the competition is all about?" Huh? You got to know what the enemy is doing. Like that. But usually, just by being personal and just by seeing what the person needs and what the person is looking for, and to connect the book and Krishna consciousness to their lives, makes the difference. Just like Srila Prabhupada. He was in the house of Sali Gopar Agarwal for 5 months, and he was just studying the habits and rituals and social customs of the American people. And then he went to New York and he started his. It still took about a year till things started to manifest. But Prabhupada was observing, he was listening, and he was studying. So preaching doesn't always mean that you just go there and, "Oh, I preach to him a storm," you know? And yeah, well, what was the result, you know? Did you hit him over the head with the book? Has the person become favorable? That's the question. Every person who was touched by Prabhupada, they were favorable. They felt that they met the most wonderful, the most unique, the most extraordinary person in their lives. So they asked Prabhupada, "How will we know who are your disciples?" He said, "It will be perfect gentlemen, perfect ladies." So we are, we have this challenge. And then preaching becomes very easy. If we just remember Prabhupada and his example and his austerities, what he did. He was in the Avalon Ballroom. And they were playing all these different rock bands, psychedelic music, and it was very loud. And it was very, very strange situation, to say the least. But Prabhupada just sat it out and just waited to give them the holy name, just to give them Krishna. So sometimes patience is required. And sometimes boldness, sternness, and being affirmative is required. So if you pray like that, Krishna, please send me one person today who I can talk to about Krishna. Send me one interested, inquisitive person. Send me one person I can give a book to. It will happen. You just try, and you see for yourself. So, Srila Prabhupada is encouraging us to develop very simple and straightforward dealings with Krishna. Because Krishna is not a politician, and he's not a merchant. He is our best well-wisher. He's our eternal Lord. He's the lover and friend and son. He's the most dear and most worshipful object of his devotees. But mainly, he's our best and worshipful friend. So whatever relationship we want to have with Krishna, Krishna is ready to reciprocate with us. So let us take shelter of Krishna by chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And by associating with all the things that are near and dear to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, and in this way, our lives can become perfect. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? If they say no, 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 then I leave them. If they say three times no, I leave them. If somebody says three times no. Sometimes no doesn't mean no. Sometimes no means what is this all about? Or sometimes no means I'm not so convinced. Or sometimes no means come on, put in a little effort, you know. Don't just be so, you know, lukewarm. So no may mean different things. No may mean I'm confused. Or no may mean, hey, no, who are you? You know, like that. People want to know three things. They have three things they want to know. There's three question marks on everybody's forehead when they meet a devotee. Who are you? What's this book? And what's in it for me? And if you're able to answer these three questions in the first 30 seconds, you've got yourself a book distributed. Money back guaranteed. If you just bring across, in short and condensed form, who are you, what's this book all about, and what's in it for me, meaning you connect the book to the person's life, they will take it. Sometimes a person says one time no, and it means no. That means get out of my way, or I'll pick you up, put you down, and walk all over you. So then you have to get the energy. Huh? Sometimes you just get that look, you know, and that's enough. I had a guy the other day, a person in front of the ATM, HSBC Bank, just out on Oxford Street. And he was dressed very nicely, you know, very nice suit. And I just said, nice suit, you know. And he just took the comment, the compliment. I showed him the book, he wasn't really into it. He said, I don't want to take this. I said, you can still make a donation for good karma, you know. I know you need that. And he smiled, so he first went to the ATM, and then afterwards he came up to me and he gave me some money. Like that. So sometimes you do it the other way around. I don't care, you know. Don't be attached. I had a couple from Poland yesterday, and they were so fired up about that I knew Poland, and I knew the Polish Woodstock Festival, and I knew what was going on there, and I had been there to their holy country. And they were so emotional about the whole exchange, you know. And they gave me all the euros, all the coins they had. It was only about 3 or 4 euros. I gave them a Bhagavad Gita. They knew this book is much more expensive. So anyway, they went off. And about half an hour later, she comes back, you know, all smiles with 5 pounds, you know, like, this is for you. I just wanted to bring this to you. She came back all the way just to bring me 5 pounds. So, no doesn't always mean no. And yes doesn't always mean yes. Like people say yes, 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 yes. But actually it means something else. So it's not what they say, it's how they say. So in order to learn that, it takes practice. You have to go deeper. And you have to start asking people questions. Don't do too much talking. Let them do the talking. And you just direct it. Just like the other day, I was distributing books in America in a concert. And there was a man with his 3 kids. They were 8, 10, 12 year old. And he was just ready to get out of the car. And you know how it is, big commotion, get all the stuff out, get all the gear out. And I told him, you know, meditation, yoga, we're monks, you know. And he just said, yeah, I already do meditation. And I said, wonderful, great. And I saw he was too preoccupied, you know, with his kids. So I just wished him a nice day and walked off. And then 15 minutes later, the kids come with a big plastic container with mango, cut up mango, strawberry, pineapple, cherries, papaya. And they say, you're a monk, right? This is from God's garden for you. And they gave me that. And I said, this is God's teaching for you. And I gave him a Bhagavad Gita. And they were so ecstatic. They were so happy. So the point is how to make every person happy. Sometimes if they're in the no-no mood, then you can just, okay, forget it. Or you can just say, hey, have a great day. Have a fantastic day. And then you see sometimes how they turn around and they smile, you know. And they like, they get the message, you know. They got the point. It takes a little longer, but they got the point. That's what it's all about. That they get the energy. We have to touch people's lives. It's not about a score and how fast you run and how fast you talk. It's about impressing people by giving them Prabhupada's books. And if it's too fast out there, then don't go out there. Go door to door. There's so many places you can go to distribute books. I was in America 15 years ago. And they, 20 years ago, and they made me go to the airports. And I saw that when people travel, they don't want to be bothered. In the airport, it's tough, you know? The security, people are... I mean, how do you feel when you travel? Huh?
I feel happy when I see the devotees.
Yeah. But... But in general, if somebody, you know, wants to stop you in the airport or something and this and that, I mean, you've got a flight to catch. You're on a clock, you know. This is like timed here. You're not out there to stroll. Plus now there's security concerns and all these things, strange people. You don't know how to talk to them. So I told them 15 years ago, why are you pushing the airports? Go to the colleges and go door to door. And you will meet all the nice people. And it took them more than 10 years. Now they're doing it. And they're enjoying it. They're liking it. And they do way better than they did in the airports. So if you think book distribution is Oxford Street, you're wrong. You can distribute books in a million places, in a million ways. It's not that you have to know how to tackle somebody on Oxford Street. Because it might just not be your thing. Because you don't look like you're a quarterback. Or what are the guys who are tackling? Not the quarterbacks.
Linebackers.
Huh? The linebackers. The big mamas, right? They're like, you know, just jump on his legs and get him on the ground. You don't look like that. So maybe you have to use a slightly different strategy, you know. Prabhupada was also not a linebacker. He used a different strategy. Huh? He went in straight to the heart. So we have to use our intelligence, how to deal with people in such a way to touch their lives. Not thinking stereotypes. Prabhupada was not stereotyped. You understand the principle and you adjust the details. Also in communication, depending on local customs, people expect different things. In some countries, you can go up to people and say, hey mate, like in Australia, everybody's a mate, you know, right? Hey mate, how's it going? If you do that here, a lot of people are a little bit put off, you know, they feel slightly weird. you are not from this country. In America, you can go up to somebody, you know, hold out your hand like this, and go like this, you know? Or just, you know, high five or whatever, whatever handshake it is that is common. So all depending on the ritual, all depending on the customs. Huh? So we have to learn what people like and then act according to it. Prabhupada did the same. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did the same. That is a detail. The principle is important. Any other questions?
Just one question following from that. I mean, how do you actually know what to say, basically? Sometimes you just go blank. You don't know what to say.
Come to my seminar at 11 o'clock. I'll tell you all about what you can say. There's a million things you can say. But otherwise, you're like blank. Like you're in front of Krishna, you're just blank. Then rather just chant the standard prayers, because they're authorized. So in the same way, we have standard mantras, which are authorized, which you can use, free of charge. Only charge is 10% of the mercy. That is the only commission which we're asking. There's a lot of authorized mantras and lines which you can use. And they're interchangeable and you can move them around. And then once you get comfortable, you can make up your own lines, yes.
Not what you say. It's not a line.
Yeah.
If people like you, they'll be interested.
Yeah.
If they don't like you, they won't be interested.
Even if they like the book, if they don't like you,
exactly.
They say, I will buy it at the temple, but not from you. He wants the Gita, but not from me.
So
did that ever happen to you?
In the first 30 seconds,
yeah.
You have to become their friend.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
If you don't become their friend, there's no. They don't like you, there's no sale.
Yeah.
So the way I view it is that we have to connect soul to soul. If it's intelligence to intelligence, or ego to ego, or this or that, it's not going to work. It has to be heart to heart, soul to soul.
Yeah.
And that means no lines, just genuinely, spontaneously speak from your heart.
But not everybody is that spontaneous. So sometimes, you know, like when you do kirtan, you have notes, you have certain rules. Later on, you get beyond those, right? But initially, when you learn ABCs, you have to stick with a certain program. Because for many devotees, to build up the confidence, it's about confidence, you know, the confidence level. Like you can walk into a place and just, you know, open it up in big style. But, you know, like, not everybody can, like, the devotees ask me how to stop two people or how to deal with groups of people because it's frightening, you know? I mean, there's three of them. They might beat me up. They might steal my book. Like in America, I just went up to these army boys, you know, who are out there drinking beer and doing whatnot and tailgating, partying. And I just go up and I just basically insulted all of them, you know? And then one guy just said, you know what? This guy's got guts, you know? He comes here with his religion and he insults all of us. I give him $5. And then the other guy says, I give him $10. And so sometimes you have to, you know, you have to get him out of their defensive mode. But it's all about building up your comfort level, that you're confident. Because if you have low levels of self-esteem, or if you have low levels of confidence, no matter what you say, people will be put off by it. Even if you just say, hello, excuse me. And they're like, what? What? You ever had that? I just said, hello, excuse me, sir. And they're like ready to, you know. So it's, and then when you become more comfortable, it's the friendship thing. It's really what Prabhu said. Make friendship with the people. You have to actually like the people. But for that, you can't judge. You can't say, oh, he's a black, a yellow, a red, a green, a white, a purple guy, you know. And I'm not dealing with this one and that one. Otherwise, you stand out there and an hour passes by and you say, there's nobody I can distribute to. It's hopeless. These people are just, you know, animals. So don't overanalyze. And after a time, one gets some experience and one... But you basically accept people for who they are. And they'll be so appreciative. Because, you know, to find a friend, even a friend for a few seconds or minutes, it's a rare thing nowadays. to have somebody who gives you the friendly vibe. There's all types of different vibes which are out there. Usually they're not friendly vibes. And friendly means any type of the exchange, any time, if the person wants out of it, if they want to go, you let them go. If they feel that you're detached, you're ready to just wish them a nice day, they want to stay, and they become interested, and they open up. Why? Because you let the game come to you. You're not chasing after the game, but you let it come to you, and you just deal with people as they come. Now, sometimes you have to put in a little bit of spice also, but you learn how to do that.
Humor.
Yeah. Gotta be funny, you know? It's a dull world. Everybody's doing the same thing. You know, people are like, what is this? And I say, you know, we call them books. And then you just carry on. You don't rub it in. You don't ask him where he, you know, did his middle school. You continue. And you use humor, but appropriate humor. Because a lot of times, you know, we talk about things which you think are funny and they're not really funny. Or not for that type of person. And it's really upsetting them, you know. Like sometimes I hear devotees saying things which are true, but they're taken out of context, or they say negative things, you know. Oh, there's so many cheaters out there, or there's so many bogus this and bogus that. Never talk negative, and never talk down on other people. It doesn't sit very well with cultured people. It may work for some hillbillies, you know, if you diss some other people or some other group, they may like that. But the regular crowd, they don't like it at all. So humor is something which is quite unique, and everybody's got it in their own style and in their own way. And some are mildly humorous, and some are outrageously humorous. But you have to be yourself. That's the main thing. As soon as people see, this is just a show, this is just a drama, this is just another fake guy, you know, it's just a wannabe, he just wants to play something, he's a player. But if they realize you're for real, this is you, you give it all you've got, but this is you, that's very convincing. Because nowadays everybody is just temping, you know. You ask people, oh, I'm a bartender / DJ / fashion designer / you know, toilet cleaner. Everybody's a wannabe. They're all like so many different things, but they're actually none of the above. So, friendship, humor, being original, that means every soul is original. That means you don't need to copy anybody, because you will fall flat. Krishna has given each and every one of us enough potency and talent to be attractive. Krishna is the all-attractive, so we are a small part and parcel of him. So if you're just Krishna conscious, you'll be very attractive. Just like you see Srila Prabhupada, pure devotee. He was so attractive that people were just drawn to him like a magnet. They were just mesmerized, awe and reverence. So it's very simple. You just become a pure devotee, then everybody will just, you know, they will just throw money at you from all 10 directions. You wouldn't know what to do. Sometimes it happens, believe it or not. Some days when you actually have the proper consciousness, sometimes you do something small. You know, you cook breakfast for the devotees, or, you know, you clean up the shoe room because it's smelly, or you do something. Nothing spectacular, just something small. And you go out with the right type of attitude. And people, they just throw you money. And they like, don't talk, it's okay. You know, it's okay. Day before yesterday, we were out on Oxford Street. The first three devotees I went with and I watched them, people just walked up to them and handed them £20. Just like that. And they were like, what? You know? So don't think it can't happen. And it's not about the money. It's about connecting with the person in the heart. So when people ask you, well, how much should I give? You say, well, some people give their whole lives. If you can't do that, just give $1 million, you know. If that's too much, then give whatever you like, you know. Most give 10 or 20, just like that. But if you have written on your forehead, you know, give me £1, £1, and you have the energy of one of those people who are sitting there with the paper cup, you know? Now people are going to treat you like that. And you shouldn't be upset. Because that's what they're used to, you know? Okay, throw a coin here, throw a coin there. Like that. But if they feel you come in from a totally different tangent, then you can actually make a difference. Because we want to touch people's hearts. That's what we're trying to do.
Another thing that people are attracted to is when you're joyful.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Because it's my bliss. I love to do this. Because
it gives me the buzz.
Yeah, people are suffering so much and they see that you're enjoying and you're happy. It turns them on, makes them feel good.
Yeah. Just like Vasuki Prabhu, you seem always blissful because he's always absorbed in the holy name of the Lord. And when you're morose, why is it? Because we forgot Krishna. We forgot the holy name. We forgot the Yuga Dharma. We're not engaged in Sankirtan. We're somewhere else on a different planet. And then all of a sudden, you know, you look in the mirror and you say, who is this person? You know, I don't want to have anything to do with this guy. Well, then better shape up. Because people, for them on the street, you are Prabhupada, you are ISKCON, you are Krishna, you're the entire thing. So it's a great responsibility. So our first and foremost duty is to chant and be happy, to become ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. Because that will actually convince people on a much deeper and more profound level than any argument, any logic, any nice presentation. Yes.
Just one final point.
Yes.
When we're out there distributing, they're going to look at us and say, do I want to be like that person? Because you've been doing this, and if this is the result of following and you end up like that, I don't want to be like that. So you got to be so that they want to be like that. They have to be blissful, happy, joyful. Oh, okay, well, let me read this book if I can be like that. But if we're not like that, if they don't want to be, end up the way they see us, then they're not going to take the book.
And we have to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, do I want to be like this or do I want to be something different? Thank you for your nectar and for your participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.